So I'd ask you to turn in your Bibles to Exodus. And so as not to fully overwhelm you with the reading, we're actually going to start back in Exodus chapter 36. And look at Exodus 36, 37, 38, and 39 this morning. I've been asked a number of times in the last couple of weeks if we've been looking at watching the Olympics at all. The Olympics hold a great fascination for many people, for aspiring athletes and wannabe athletes, and those of us who know we'll never be athletes. It's fascinating to watch those who are and can do great things. Those who make it to the Olympics get there only because of great discipline in their lives. And those who finally mount the podium to receive their medals only can do that if they have followed the rules. And unfortunately, sometimes we hear of those who have failed to follow the rules and don't get to get their medal, or they don't continue with their discipline outside of their sport, and in their lives they are undisciplined and really make a fool of themselves and others. Paul, in his writing to Timothy and elsewhere in the New Testament, uses athletics as a comparison for the Christian life. In 2 Timothy, in writing to Timothy, he tells Timothy to reflect on certain things, and one of them is the idea of running a race. And he says, you're not going to receive the victor's crown if you don't run by the rules. And we can take what we learn from athletics over into our Christian life and say, are we learning the lessons that the athletes should know and practice, but sometimes don't? Because sometimes as Christians, we make the same mistakes as they do. The thing is, our disciplines, our living by the standards that God has set, extends to 7 days a week, 24 hours a day, until we come face to face with our Lord Jesus Christ. There's no break. We don't want to make the mistake that athletes do sometimes. And we don't want to make the mistakes that Israel did. At least what we've read up to now, they have not had a good track record as they have come to Sinai. They were taken out of Egypt, had a full year of experience of all the miracles, the great things that God had done for them in redeeming them from Israel. And it wasn't long before they're on their trip to Sinai that they're complaining and having to be disciplined by the Lord. And when they finally get there, just a short wait of 40 days as Moses is on the mountain, and they're already worshiping a golden calf. And we came to the point last week. They have been forgiven. God is giving them the instructions now to build the tabernacle that he had instructed Moses to pass on. And the question is, will they be faithful in doing what the Lord has commanded? And the last four chapters, minus chapter 40, but 36 through 39, are giving us the answer to this question. It would take maybe 6 months for them to complete the construction of the tabernacle. It only took them a month, less than a month and a half, to be worshiping a golden calf. Are they going to be obedient for this time period? And we do find that yes, they were. And in these chapters, 36, 37, 38, and 39, there are three very clear evidences of their obedience, and that this dedicated obedience to the Lord at the end led to their blessing. And we heard that read, the very last verse that was read this morning, and Moses blessed them. Now the first couple chapters, I was wondering how much you were tolerating the reading this morning, because we have read much of it already back in the earlier chapters, and just in that short time span, there's already that repetition going through, and they made the tabernacle and the ark and this and that. In fact, in these chapters in Exodus, 7 times it's listed what was made. 2 of them very detailed. 1, chapters 25, I believe it starts, to 30. The instructions to Moses, this is what you shall make. And then starting at 36 through 39, this is what they made. But these chapters, Exodus 36 to 39, if you have read them in fairly close time with the earlier chapters, they add very little. They change only a little bit. And it drops some what was in the earlier chapters. As we go through chapter 36, we left off at verse 7 last week. In verse 8, all the skilled men among the workmen made the tabernacle with the 10 curtains. And it goes through and talks about the curtains. They made the curtains of goat hair, verse 14. They made the upright frames, verse 20. They also made crossbars, verse 31. They made the curtain of blue, purple, and scarlet yarn, verse 35. Bezalel made the ark, chapter 37. He made the atonement cover, verse 6 of chapter 37. They made the table of acacia wood. They made the lampstand. And so it goes on, chapter after chapter, repeating the commands that we have found in the earlier chapters. Now, what is added, the little bit that's added, is the source of materials. There's a couple comments made there, and we'll look at that in just a moment. And then there's the commands are changed to statements. You, Moses, make these curtains. You, Moses, make this tabernacle. And we find here, he, Bezalel, or they, made the curtains. He made the ark. Now, in the NIV, it's frequently they. If you have other translations, it may just have he. The reason for that is usually the subject is a singular, he made this, but it's often used in the same sense that we would use an indefinite pronoun. We say, oh, they did that. And so, well, who's they? It's their fault. Well, who are you talking about there? And in very formal English, you may say, well, one must watch out when they cross the street. That's the way it could be used here. And when it's talking about a specific person, as in chapter 37, it does say, and Bezalel specifically made the ark. So that's the reason you might find differences in translations between they or he. What is dropped out of this is all the usage. And when Moses first got the instructions, he was told, well, this is what they're supposed to use these things for. This is how the priests are supposed to act. All that is dropped out. Because the focus of these chapters now is on the workers, the craftsmen. What are they supposed to be doing? And it focuses on their obedience. Now, what you don't probably know, unless you've studied this, is this was a typical literary practice of the culture. We use bold print. We use other means of emphasizing something. But at that time, the way they would emphasize obedience to a divine command was by repeating the instructions. Already 500 years before this, in the old Babylonian Empire, and those who remember their school days probably remember studying Hammurabi's laws. Back at that time period, they were already doing this. Right current to this time, there's a people that were living what is now northern Syria, a coastal port city of Ugarit, spoke a language called Ugaritic, which is very close to Hebrew, used sometimes to help us understand Hebrew. Culturally, chronologically, very similar to the Hebrew culture. They did the exact thing. Archaeologists have found massive libraries, tablets, and those, their mythology, will do the same thing. And a deity told someone to do this and do this, and then it goes through and repeats it. And he did this, and he did this, exactly like we find here. So this was a method of that day of saying they did exactly as they were told. Word for word. And you can do it as I've done. You print out both chapters next to one another, and you start highlighting what is different. And you won't see much highlight it in this section because it just repeats the instructions, what was given, except for the fact he now did it instead of you do it, he did it. It's the changes that are made. Now, it's not perhaps as strange as you might think. Those of you who are parents and have had children, you may have instructed your children at some point, you know, son, take the trash out. And when you do, make sure you clean the can out and put a clean bag in it when you come back in. So later in the day, the parent asks the child, "Son, did you take the trash out?" They go, "Yes." "Did you remember to clean the can out?" "Well, yes." "Did you put a bag in?" "Yes, I took the trash out and I cleaned the can and I put a new bag in." They just did exactly what we have here. They repeat all the instructions just to make sure you know, "Yes, I followed your commands exactly as you told me." And that's what we have here. And I had the chapter read that was read in order for you to hear that. Because in that final chapter, it just repeats it again and again. They did exactly as the Lord commanded Moses. Repetition, as we read this, it's easy to skip. It's one of those things that people, "Oh boy, reading through Exodus, it just says the same thing over and over again." Well, that's something maybe we should learn from. Emphasis on really obeying. And I would suggest for yourselves even, it may be helpful to emphasize things by repeating it. What am I commanded to do in Scripture? Well, as a father, I'm commanded to be a good father, not exasperate my children, to raise them up with the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Can I say, "Yes, I have raised up my children in the nurture and admonition of the Lord"? I am to love my wife as Christ loved the church. Can I repeat back, "Yes, Lord Jesus, I have loved my wife as you have loved the church"? When you are forced to say that, you may have to stop and say, "I can't say that." Repetition is a good thing. It checks, helps us check. Am I really doing? Instead of, "Oh yeah, I took out the trash." Well, did I really do everything I was told to do? There's a second evidence of obedience in this section, which will lead to their blessing. And this just comes in those little bits that's added about the source of the material. If you look at chapter 38, a little bit before the reading was started, back in verse 8, just this small statement: they made the bronze basin and its bronze stand from the mirrors of the women who served at the entrance to the tent of meeting. Now this unfortunately raises more questions than it answers initially. We don't know which tent of meeting it's talking about. Is it talking about the tabernacle, which is going to be called the tent of meeting, or the provisional tent of meeting that Moses set up outside the camp to meet with the Lord before the tabernacle was built? And who are these women? And what is their serving? Later the word "serving" will be used for the Levites who serve in the temple, for women also who served at the tabernacle, probably doing some menial cleaning, but that was later on. The original word, meaning of the word for serving was to muster troops, to serve in an army, to band them together. This could just be talking about women who gathered together at the provisional tent of meeting in order to present their gift for the contribution. What is clear from this passage, no matter what the context of who these ladies were, they were taking a luxury item which they had, perhaps their only luxury item, their only mirror, polished, fine quality brass, and contributing it to the construction of the tabernacle. This was following a command which the Lord had given: let all who are willing give. And these were women who were willing and gave from what they had. Just as we saw last week in 2 Corinthians, that a gift is acceptable if you give it according to what you have. Willingly. And this is what they had, and this is what they were willing to give. The workers and the people responded in obedience with what they had, with their skills, with their possessions, for the work of the Lord. The second unique contribution in this section concerns the collection of metals. And that was read this morning, verses 21 to 31 of chapter 38. This also points to their obedience in the construction process. Gold and bronze came from the wave offerings. Another reminder of their obedient response in the call for willing generosity. But the silver here is mentioned as it came from the census of the fighting men. Back in Exodus chapter 30, this was regulated. When there's a census, make sure that every man 20 years up that can fight and count it in the census, they must pay a half shekel. Not more, not less, doesn't matter, rich or poor, everyone must pay a half shekel. And this is what it reports here. Everyone paid a half shekel. Gives you the amount of money it was. This is probably the census that's reported in Numbers chapter 1, verse 1. The only challenge with that is that that census, it says, was taken a month after the tabernacle was completed. So there's this question, well, how could they use the silver for that in something that's already completed? The explanation probably is when you think of numbering over 600,000 men, I doubt if it happened on one day. And it's much more likely that what's reported in Numbers chapter 1 is the Lord had commanded to take a census, and now the final report is given. Just as we often have election results, they start coming in, but the election's not official until everything is properly counted and turned in. Then it's official. Even though ballots have been coming in, elections have been going on for a while, here the census has probably been going on for a while. As they crossed the line, that's what the idea, they gave their half shekel, and as that silver came in, they used it for the production of the tabernacle. But Moses was careful to record here their detailed obedience. Even in the bringing of the silver from the census, they did exactly as they had been commanded. A half shekel was paid by every man, right down to the man. It's tempting to take shortcuts. And this should be an emphasis for us. Not only they commanded, they did as the Lord commanded, but in everything, even in the collection of the materials, they were obeying just as the Lord had commanded. Sometimes we're tempted to think we know what God wants, and we do things to accomplish what we think His purposes are rather than doing what He's told us to do. Classic example in the Old Testament was a man by the name of Uzzah. Uzzah was the son of Abinadab. Probably doesn't mean much to very many people unless you know the story. But back in the days of Saul and eventually King David, there was all these conflict with the Philistines. And the Israelites thought, well, we'll take the ark with us into battle. That'll help us. Well, they took it and they lost it to the Philistines. Well, God cursed the Philistines and they got rid of the ark as soon as they could after they were plagued. And it ended up in the house of a man called Abinadab for 20 years. And when David became king, he said, well, let's bring the Ark of the Covenant to Jerusalem. He didn't follow the instructions, though, on how to bring it. He went there with a cart driven by ox, and they loaded the ark onto the cart, and they're proceeding on the way to Jerusalem. One of his sons, Abinadab's sons, in the front, one of the sons in the back, Uzzah, and the ox stumbles. Now, here's the Ark of the Covenant. What's a good intention? Stop that ark from falling. And he reaches out to touch the ark, and God strikes him dead, because he had not obeyed the instructions that God had given for how the ark was to be transported. Good intentions are not sufficient. Obedience is what God wants. When He says, this is what I want you to do, tell the truth. Don't lie. You don't accomplish God's purposes by lying. We want to do what God wants us to do in His way. Good intentions are no substitute for the obedience to clear commands. If you want blessing, follow Christ wholeheartedly in accordance with what He has said, not with what you think should be accomplished. That final chapter, as I've already mentioned, highlights explicitly how the workers obeyed the commands given to the Lord and thus received blessing. And that is a final third evidence of their obedience that would lead to that blessing. And as I've mentioned, as you go through end of verse 1, they also made sacred garments for Aaron as the Lord commanded Moses. As you look down, end of verse 7, earlier, verse 5, as the Lord commanded Moses. End of verse 7, as the Lord commanded Moses. End of verse 21, as the Lord commanded Moses. End of verse 26, as the Lord commanded Moses. End of verse 29, as the Lord commanded Moses. End of verse 31, as the Lord commanded Moses. Hopefully that should make an impact. They did it just as the Lord commanded Moses. And I think it's interesting it was for the garments, for the for the priests. I think a seamstress, I thought of you, Mary, in this. I imagine someone coming to a seamstress and said, I saw this outfit and I really liked it. Could you make it for me? Well, what did you bring a picture? Did you bring a pattern? Well, no. Well, tell me, well, it was sort of long and they had these nice colors in it and I sort of liked the way the sleeves were and could you make that? I was like, well, I'll give it a try. And you use your artistic ability to come up with what sounds like. This is what happened. Nobody could make the things that were instructed on the basis of the instructions that were given. But it turned out just as the Lord had commanded. And we might miss this dimension to the commandments that are given. And NIV in verse 43 does not, I think, bring the impact that Moses inspected the work and saw that he had done it just as the Lord had commanded. ESV, NASB, Old King James, all of it, all those translate this, and behold, they had done it just as the Lord had commanded. It's not just that he saw it. It's saying, look at this. It's exactly what was commanded. And the impact of that, you can only have if you have been following all the way back from chapter 26, or chapter 25. Chapter 25, at the end of the chapter, it says, see that you make them, all these things that were supposed, according to the pattern shown you on the mountain. Chapter 26, verse 30. Set up the tabernacle according to the plan shown you on the mountain. Chapter 27, verse 8. It is to be made, the altar, just as you were shown on the mountain. Numbers chapter 8, verse 4. The lampstand was made just as was shown you on the mountain. This has so much impact so that by the time we get to Hebrews, it talks about the priests, Hebrews chapter 8. They serve at a sanctuary that is a copy and shadow of what is in heaven. This is why Moses was warned when he was about to build the tabernacle, see to it that you make everything according to the pattern shown you on the mountain. He was shown what this was supposed to look like. He passed on verbal instructions to the workers and said, make this box. This is the length, and cover it with gold. It's supposed to be of acacia wood. And make this lampstand. It's got 7 branches. And we're going, what's it supposed to look like? When it was done, Moses looked at it and said, look at this. It's exactly what I saw. These men and women were obedient to the commands of God. You make it. And it says earlier, and we looked at how God filled them with His Spirit. And in their obedience, God directed so that what they finally produced was exactly what He wanted. I think Moses would have been absolutely amazed to look at these things and say, this is what I saw. This is exactly what I saw. I didn't tell you to put that little fringe here. I didn't tell you to put those corners in that exact angle. But that's what I saw. And he looks and he blesses them because of the obedience that they had had, and the result of that obedience was something exactly what God had shown him. Believers should obey God, but also know that there are things which only He can accomplish. We won't accomplish them. But when we're obedient, He will. In 1 Corinthians, Paul talks about his work among the Corinthians. They were elevating different workers. I'm of Apollos, I'm of Peter, I'm of Paul. And he says, we're all just stewards. We're all just workers. Why do you elevate one above the other? We each have our task. What, after all, is Apollos? 1 Corinthians 3, verse 5. And what is Paul? Only servants through whom you came to believe. As the Lord has assigned to each his task. I planted the seed. Apollos watered it. But God made it grow. So neither he who plants nor he who waters is anything, but only God who makes things grow. The man who plants, the man who waters have one purpose, and each will be rewarded according to his own labor. They were not rewarded on the basis of who came to faith. They were rewarded on the basis of their labor. Paul, you sow, and he was rewarded for faithful sowing. Apollos, you water, and he was rewarded on the basis of properly watering. And God gave the increase. And that increase could only have come through the obedience of those two men who sowed the seed and watered the seed. So we obey and we trust God to do what he said he can do and only what he can do. It's too easy at times, as I mentioned, to cut corners, to think, well, maybe I should try to get a person to believe. It won't work because you can't make a person believe. But you can share the seed. You can live the example that shows them that it's true what's happening in your life, but you won't get them to change. There's a story of Henry Ford. Henry Ford is known in the U.S. not for inventing the automobile, but in manufacturing it in a way that his goal was to make it a household item, that everybody could afford a car. And he was successful at that. Came a point he was upgrading the Model A and had added a battery to it. And he ordered the batteries and he defined how they were supposed to be shipped. I want you to ship it in a wooden box. It's supposed to be of this type of wood. I want it cut this way. I want it reinforced in the corners this way. And I want holes put in it as vents in these places. And his people are going, that's not necessary. It's going to cost. He said, no, it won't cost more. I'm ordering enough that it won't raise the price. And that was true. It didn't raise the price. He said, well, why be so specific about this? They went ahead and did it as he had commanded. And when they arrived, the first shipment arrived, he brought his engineers and workers to the floor. They knocked the box open. They took the battery. It was to be installed underneath the floor of the Model A. And he knocked the box open, put the battery in, and then he picked up the pieces of wood from the box and laid it on the bottom. It was the floorboard, exactly fit. And the holes, small holes for screws to go in, hole for the brake pedal to go through, already made. It was the box that the battery was shipped in. So every car that had a battery already had the floorboard made. What if someone had said, well, we really don't need that hole in that spec? It wouldn't have worked. But because people had obeyed what they were supposed to do, it was a perfect match for what he wanted to do later on. And that's often the way we are in our lives. We don't know what God has planned down the road. But he asked us to do certain things. This is what I want you to do in your families. Husbands, love your wives. Wives, submit to your husbands. Honor them. Fathers, raise up your children in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Children, obey your parents. Honor your parents. Workers, you obey as unto the Lord. Masters, you treat your workers in a fashion, remembering that you have a master as well. All these things, we're never going to change necessarily the heart of our boss or employer. And if you're thinking, if you're married or thinking of marriage, don't think you're going to change your partner. That's never the way to enter a marriage. You think, you go into marriage thinking, this is what I'm going to have to do in this situation. And that's the way God intends it. He wants you to obey the commands he has given you. Just as those workmen obeyed what God had said. So that at the end of the time, Moses looked at this and said, this is exactly what I saw. And so that we can one day stand there and be amazed and look at this, what God has done with our obedience. We didn't know this was what he was doing, but we can be amazed at what God has done. God has redeemed us, not because we have done good, but he has redeemed us in order to do good. We don't earn our salvation by obeying, except for obeying the gospel and trusting in Christ. Paul talked Romans, 1 Corinthians chapter 9, he talks about how he would adjust his life, things where he had flexibility. He said, to the Jew I became a Jew, to the weak I became as weak. I have become all things to all men, so that by all possible means I might save some. I do all this for the sake of the gospel, that I may share in its blessings. Do you not know that in a race, all the runners run, but only one gets the prize? Run in such a way as to get the prize. Everyone who competes in the games goes into strict training. They do it to get a crown that will not last, but we do it to get a crown that will last forever. Are you running your race to get a prize that will last forever? Or just to accomplish something that might get you through the day? We obey what God has said because we are looking to eternity. We want a blessing, not a gold medal, not a wreath as they would get that would wither away probably within days, a gold medal that goes on a shelf and people forget. We are looking for a blessing for eternity. And we receive that, we will hear Christ, well done, when we have been obedient to what he has said and followed him wholeheartedly. What is the evidence in your life of your obedience? Can you go back as we did with Israel and say, well, they did just as the Lord had commanded. It was just as the Lord has commanded. It was just as the Lord commanded. Can you point to the things in your life and say, despite my circumstances, I have done just as the Lord has commanded? If you have, God guarantees you, he promises you his eternal blessing and reward for your faithful service to him. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we do thank you for what you have done in our lives, calling us to yourself, having redeemed us through the blood of our Lord Jesus Christ. But we acknowledge also that it has not stopped there. You desire that we follow you wholeheartedly, follow our Lord Jesus Christ, and show the change in our lives by the obedience to your word. I pray that you would help us, that we would encourage one another, recognize what we have done for you, repeat it, be able to speak back to you, and know that we are pleasing to you through